after the baptism, because that's mean I've actually stopped crying. But what a powerful testimony from Sarah, and so fitting, actually, with the kind of theme that we're looking at today and the passage that we're going to look at. But before we get to that, I want to tell you about a little exciting project that we've got running this year. It was birthed here in Scotland, and it's gone global. Okay, so I know, isn't that amazing? And I'd just quite like you guys to kind of be part of it. So we're going to do it together as the congregation this morning. But when I tell you about it, I think we'll get the PowerPoint up on the screen, if that's possible. I'll tell you about it, and then you can actually go away. I can offer technical support later to get this onto your smartphone, and you can be part of the Bible 2020 story. It's very simple. Just keep flicking through, because I can't remember what's there, actually. Right, there. I'll give you a nod when I need you to move on. So, basically, where the challenge is to read a short part of the Bible aloud every day throughout the year 2020. Because this is how we get clarity of vision for living, isn't it? And there's something quite special about reading the Bible aloud. Those of you that have read that, doing the Bible reading in church, you've read it aloud, there's something that happens. As the Word of God, in a sense, is kind of more internalized almost as we read it aloud. But of course, when you read it aloud, if you do that around the breakfast table with your family, or you do it in your office with your colleagues, I've managed to do it on the train while commuting with some friends listening in, and of course, one of them joined me, and he's got quite a loud voice, so the whole carriage heard it. Other people hear God's word. And of course, before we had the Bible in written form with the printing press, then this was the way that God's message was passed on orally. Okay, so this is how it happens. You see on your smartphone with the Bible 2020 app, you get the passage for the day, and you're able to press record. You can record yourself doing it. I'm going to record you guys doing it, okay? And you then have the option of putting that up onto a video wall. I think the next slide shows that. Keep going. Okay, thank you. Next slide. So, our app developer... Sorry, I forgot to change that. It's not Psalm 93 today. It's Psalm 139. But our app developer calls that video wall the Pentecost wall, because we have had... the app has been downloaded in 110 countries so far, okay? And people are speaking it in the language that they speak, as long as there's a Bible translation in that language. So we're just going to do that quickly now. So if you press... the next slide, it'll come up and say 3, 2, 1, and then we'll go. Except you have to do it 3, 2, 1 on my phone. Now. Stop it, and I press post on the video wall, and it'll happen. So, those of you with smartphones, if you go onto our website, you can get it in written form. You don't have to have a smartphone to do it. Sorry, my phone will start being noisy if I don't come out of the app as it loads up. But there you are. You've been part. A woman at my own church said to me a couple of Sundays ago, she said, "Elaine, this app is fantastic." She said, "I'm not getting out very much at the moment. I'm caring for an elderly relative." And she said, "I go onto the Bible 2020 app in the morning. I read my verses, and then I look at that video wall, and I'm connected with the global church." Isn't that great? And you're connected with the global church because the global church is kind of coming in here, which is just fantastic. So now, the subject this morning is about Jesus encountering someone who was oppressed. So I want us to explore a little bit first about what this business of oppression means. Now, Sarah has already talked to us, hasn't she, about how she experienced oppression of different sorts, actually, just in that brief account that she's given of her life living under an oppressive regime. But actually, some of that oppression was much more personal, wasn't it? And when you think about oppression, I don't know what words come to mind for you in terms of what oppression might feel like. Sarah talked about feeling sad and lonely, feeling worried and anxious. Oppression leads to feelings of being burdened, treated harshly, enslaved, lacking freedom, in bondage, tethered, bound, paralyzed, worried, uncomfortable. These are words, aren't they, that you would associate with oppression. And what I'd like you to do, just very briefly, but just with the kind of two or three people around about you, I want you to just have and Sarah's really kind of set the scene very helpfully for us around this, but I want you to have a quick talk with one another about what are the kinds of things that cause those feelings. So what are the kind of things that can leave any of us actually experiencing oppression and feeling some of those emotions? Okay, just talk to one another for 30 seconds or so. But actually, just to ask you then to shift the conversation into how does your perspective on life, your situation, your circumstances, how does your perspective on life change when you are feeling oppressed or feeling some of those emotions that we've used to describe oppression? How does your perspective on life change? Okay? Another 30 seconds. Stop you again. And with that, those sort of thoughts and comments that you've shared with one another in our minds, we're going to read from the Bible, and we're going to read Luke chapter 13, beginning at verse 10. Okay, so Luke chapter 13 and verse 10. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are free from your infirmity." And then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites! Doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" And when he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. And then Jesus asked, "What is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it to? It's like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds perched in its branches." Again he asked, "What shall I compare the kingdom of God to? It's like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 30 kilograms of flour until it worked all through the dough." We have here, in this healing of the woman who was crippled, both a miracle and a parable. We've got the miracle of her healing, but we've also got this parable. We've got this picture. Just as we've had a picture this morning as Sarah went through the waters of baptism to signify that she has experienced new life in Jesus Christ. And we've got a picture with this woman. I want you to imagine that you're there at the synagogue that Sabbath day. We don't know whether the woman was a regular attender at the synagogue, but she would be noticed that day. She would be known in the community. You couldn't really miss her. She looked a bit different to everybody else because she was bent double. Now, think about that conversation you just had about perspective. What could that woman see? Bent double. Her perspective on life was very limited, wasn't it? You know, she could see the ground. She could see people's feet in their sandals. She could see the muck between their toes. She could see those horrible kind of hard bits that when you get older, you get on your feet. She was never able to look anybody in the eye. She wasn't able to stand tall. We don't know why she was bent double. We don't know if there was a physical cause to that weakness in her back. We don't know if there was a psychological cause. You know, had she been abused physically, verbally, emotionally? And her twisted emotions had led to a twist in her spine. And these are things that today, those of you that work in medical environments or caring environments will see this sort of thing. But Jesus attributes her predicament to whatever else was part of it, that there was an evil aspect to it. Because there is an enemy of Jesus. There is an enemy of the living God who seeks always to rob us of our sense of dignity and worth as human beings who are made in the image of God. And the picture of this woman with her bent body, the picture of this woman who is burdened, enslaved, a picture of this woman whose life is limited, and she shuffles her way into the synagogue. Now, there's a power struggle going on in the synagogue because there's a kind of leader of the synagogue. And we get to hear about him in the passage. The power struggle is between him and Jesus, because actually all eyes are on Jesus, because people have heard about him. He's performing miracles. He's doing lots of teaching. And here he comes into the synagogue. So all eyes are on him. And the poor old leader of the synagogue is a kind of bit of a sideshow. So then when Jesus actually reaches out and heals this woman, when he says to her, he calls her forward. And you can imagine her just kind of, you know, she hears the voice of Jesus, she'll have heard things about him, and she shuffles forward, responding to his voice. And he says, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity. Woman, you are set free from everything that has bound you. Woman, you are set free from the lies that people have told you. Woman, you are set free from everything that has robbed you of your dignity, of your worth, of your sense of personhood and who you are, because you have been made in the image of God. Woman, you are set free. And immediately she straightens and she stands tall and she can look Jesus in the eye. And the murmurings in the crowd are excited, just as we were so excited to witness Sarah's baptism this morning and to hear Sarah's testimony that she too has been set free by Jesus Christ. So there's the power struggle that's between the Lord and Satan, the enemy. But there's the power struggle with the synagogue ruler as well. And he's indignant. So he starts muttering and murmuring and telling the people, dear me, don't you come here on the Sabbath to get healed. Do you know, there are 6 days for all of that to happen. Well, something has happened in that synagogue. Something has happened in the history of Israel as God's chosen people. And this is one of the reasons that Jesus gets so upset with the Pharisees, because they keep missing the point. You see, that woman should have been able to shuffle into the synagogue and hear these words. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. She should have heard these words. Those ones are in Deuteronomy 5. These ones are in Leviticus. Just forgotten the 13. Leviticus 26, verse 13. She should have heard these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt so that you would no longer be slaves to the Egyptians. I broke the bars of your yoke and enabled you to walk with heads held high. This was the message that the people coming to the synagogue that day should have heard, including this woman with her bent back and her that's the wrong notes. Somebody else's notes there. This is what she would have heard, should have heard. And Jesus exposes the hypocrisy. Little note for us who are God's people. Where are we hypocrites? You see, this synagogue ruler thought that he was just the kind of bee's knees and he was the one that was connecting people with God. It was the equivalent of what we hope to do in our churches and what we have experienced today in this church. But there's always a warning to those of us who are Christians. Where are we behaving hypocritically? But in this incredible miracle and this parable, what does Jesus say about the woman? You know, he basically challenges the religious leaders and says, look, you would release your donkey to give it water and food on the Sabbath. You would encourage life in your donkey, and yet you are going to deny this woman life and freedom because of your religiosity. And because of your narrow-mindedness, and because of your misunderstanding of God's word. Oof. What does Jesus say of the woman? She's a daughter of Abraham. She is a child of the promise. She is one who is brought into and caught up into the promises of God, made from of old in ancient times, and brought to fulfillment, where every promise is a yes in Jesus Christ, our Savior. And she is set free. The two parables that follow this incident that Luke puts, I think deliberately following this incident, are parables of the kingdom. Because we may say, we may, you know, get excited about Bible 2020 and the global church, and, you know, that's kind of good, but we know that reality in Europe, the church is still in decline, but it's growing in other places. We come and we rejoice with Sarah in her baptism, but we think, well, it's just one baptism, but it is only January 2020. Just the one baptism, just the one healing in the synagogue that day. But we rejoice because of the way God works. How does his kingdom work? It works one healing after another, one baptism after another, one being set free after another, one work of the Holy Spirit to change an angry character to be someone who is calmer after the other. One marriage healed and restored. Reconciliation in broken relationships, one after the other. Jesus transforms our lives one by one, day by day, character by character. One person trusting Jesus today after another, one after another. That's how God's kingdom grows. So we have so much to rejoice in today. But we've also a realism to say, where am I actually living a life that is not reflecting the freedom that Jesus has brought me? Where am I living that kind of bent over, limited perspective on life? And what are the ways that I need just to talk to Jesus and to hear his voice calling me forward to say, woman, man, you are set free from your infirmity. May it be so for us, for our well-being, for our experiencing fullness of life in Christ, but may it be true so that others, those who see you day by day, week by week, those you encounter, that they too may know that this is the Jesus who releases us from oppression. Amen.